bearing precious seed, as well as Operation Christmas Child. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 106, if you would. Psalm 106. Thank you, Melvin, for all your help. I was able to thank Eric again today. There are some places in the Bible that, as I've said a few times, they are summary passages of Scripture, or what we might consider historical passages of Scripture. If you wanted to read the history of Israel, there's Acts 13, Nehemiah 9, Psalm 78, Ezekiel 28, Psalm 105, and Psalm 106. So you don't have to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All you have to do is read one chapter, strategically located, and you can get a pretty good summary of what the Bible says about the nation of Israel, or as we might say, God's people. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise, I'm going to read to verse 12. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. What's the next word? Hello? Then. That's usually a word that reminds us all of what we've just read now hinges upon the next preposition. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. I'm going to focus on verse 15. That will be my text for this evening, but it'll take a while to get there. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. The title of my message tonight is Leanness Unto Our Souls. Let's pray. Lord, we are so much like the wandering Jew in the Old Testament. Because as the song says, we're prone to wander. It's unfortunate, and it's something that we have to guard against constantly. Lord, I pray that you would bless Mary, the Anderson family, and those that are grieving with the passing of Ethel. I pray for the Cruz family and those that are mourning the loss of Carmen. Pray that things go well logistically tomorrow in Puerto Rico as they bury her in her resting place there. For those that are sick or ill and not doing well, I pray, Lord, you'd bless them in a special way. Father, we've been encouraged. We've been working and serving as we've put together the Bearing Precious Seed, John's enrollments, as well as the Operation Christmas Child boxes. And we will be tempted, like the world, to slide into the holiday season. And we will be tempted to buy and live the expectations of the world. So I pray and ask that you'd remind us of what's truly important during this time of year. I ask that you bless our sermon, bless your word, allow the word of God and the spirit of God to minister to us in a personal way. Lord, minister to us as you see fit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see, we have this particular summary that you've probably heard more times than you want to, that there was a famine in Canaan. And in order for God to take care of God's people, God sent God's man into Egypt. But it didn't look that way at the beginning. It looked like a family feud. It looked like a bunch of brothers piling up on one of the brothers they didn't like. In fact, they disdained him. So therefore, we'll pretend that he's dead. We'll sell him into a caravan, and he'll end up in Egypt, which he did. You know the story of Joseph. God sent Joseph in order to save the nation of Israel from a famine. So through that incarceration, God had brought the brothers down to Egypt to meet Joseph face to face. Of course, they didn't know who he was. And Joseph put together this nice little scheme to kind of teach them a lesson, to kind of spiritually spank them a bit, and bring Isaac and the rest of the family to Egypt so they would be saved physically from famine. Another Pharaoh came, and you know the rest of the story. They were upset, they were afraid, they were anxious about this foreign nation in their land growing and multiplying and populating, that they thought at some point they might rise up against them. So they enslaved them. They put them in bondage and forced them into hard labor. And from the time of Abraham to the time of Moses, the delivery of the nation of Israel took 430 years. So there was a bit of time when they were in Egypt. There's a bit of time when we've been in Egypt as well. So they learned the ways of the world. And God raised up Moses. You're familiar with the story. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to step out and to visit God's people. That didn't work very well, as he murdered one of the Egyptian soldiers. Pharaoh found out, put a bounty on Moses' head. Moses fled to the northern deserts of Midian and there decided to live incognito. He was the Egyptian prince. He was second in line to rule the world. And there he is shepherding sheep. Content as a prince of Egypt to live with his father-in-law. Now, there might not be bad things about that, but most sons-in-laws don't live with their fathers-in-laws. He did that for 40 years. Wasn't able to scrape up enough money to buy himself a little chalet. Raises a little family, thinks that in some way he's completely unusable by God, because he was told as a child, he was a special child of God, that he would be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. For 40 years he sat on that, thought about his fall from stardom, like some of our athletes think, you know, once they blow out their knee, my life isn't worth anything anymore. So now we have to recalibrate our life and make some meaning in life without sports. So Moses decides that I got an idea. I'm just going to do what my father-in-law wants me to do. I'll just kind of blend into the desert and fade away. Because God finds him. The backside of the desert. God speaks to him out of a bush. And this was not an optional conversation. This was, I am God. This is my commandment to you. We have a job to do, and you're the chosen one. What does Moses do? Yeah, but. Moses, yeah, but's God. A few different creative ways, of course, all of which are wrong. God still sends him, basically says, okay, if you got a problem with this, I'll use Aaron. If you got a problem with this. And God changes his shepherd's staff, according to the book of Exodus, into the rod of God. So God takes a stick and makes it into the rod of God. As you know, Moses now goes to meet with the elders and the leaders of Israel, tells them this story, and they are thrilled and they are excited. Until Pharaoh is confronted by Moses and Aaron. And of course, Pharaoh's not really keen about this. Pharaoh's famous line is, I know not the Lord. As many people that we know would honestly say the same. I know not the Lord. So why in the world should I let the nation of Israel go? And Moses basically said, well, if you don't, this is how it's going to go. And Pharaoh laughed, essentially. And we have one plague after another, after another, after another. So we have flies and locusts and boils and bloody rivers and darkness and a lot of interesting things, to say the least. Fascinating things that man could never even conceive of that God would use to bring down a nation. No arrows, no bullets, no boulders. You know what I mean? Just these weird things, like get under your skin kind of things. And the last plague, of course, is the death angel. The firstborn would die. So God institutes the Passover. The nation of Israel's never heard of such a thing. And will sprinkle the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, and the angel of God will pass over you, which of course is a picture of the cross and picture of salvation and redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. The nation of Egypt ejects the nation of Israel, boots them out of their land. They borrow from the Egyptians. They spoil the Egyptians with food, clothing, jewelry, so on and so on and so on. Now they're in the desert. Think about the logistics. About 2 million people. Porta-johns? Water? Food? Hygiene? Medical treatment? GPS? Where are we going? Communication? How do you communicate with 2 million people in the desert setting? Interesting, to say the least. And God reminds Moses that I will lead thee. I will be with thee. And this is how it's going to work. A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud during the day. And God brings the nation of Israel right into a geographical cul-de-sac. Where do we go from here? Nowhere other than straight ahead. That's the Red Sea. So God decides that he's going to try to take a little bit of the world out of the nation of Israel by putting them in a place where they can only trust in who? Only in him. Only in him. Of course, that's not going so well either, because now they're starting to murmur and complain, which they're good for. They're good at that. And Moses goes to the Lord and says, you know, what am I supposed to do? And Moses gives God gives Moses direction. This is how it's going to go. And this is how I'm going to do it. And you just go forward, and this is how I'm going to take care of that. You're familiar with the passage. It says here in Psalm 106, He rebuked the Red Sea, verse 9. It was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus 15. If you got one of those tags, leave it right there in Psalm 106. Exodus, did I say 15? Now, as we read the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we think or we believe that because the books are sequential, that it flows from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's not how it goes chronologically. So you have the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus kind of right in here with the book of Exodus chronologically. The book of Deuteronomy is the end of the story as they enter the promised land. So we have the Exodus, then we have the wilderness wandering, and as they get ready to cross the Jordan River, now we're into the book of Deuteronomy, and it takes all the book of Deuteronomy to summarize everything that the nation of Israel did wrong as they get ready to go into Canaan. It says in Psalm 106, don't turn there. And the waters covered their enemies. There was none, not one of them left. Then believed they His words, they sang His praise. Chapter 15, Exodus 15. They sang His praise. This is called the Song of Moses. Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He, God, thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. What did they just see? They just saw the finest soldiers in the world, the finest horses, the finest chariots, drowned in the Red Sea before their eyes. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also He drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sendest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of Thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead into the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out Thy hand, Thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia, meaning all of the surrounding area is going to hear. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of Thine arm they shall be still as a stone. Till Thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which Thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. For the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Cool. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Moses' sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You know what that means, right? 2 million people without a drink. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he did cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And Moses said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, what's important to know is as we look at the history of the nation of Israel, again, it mirrors so much our personal walk with God and our tendency to want it now, the way we want it, how we want it. So we are, like the nation of Israel, prone to complain and prone to wander. Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Basically what that means is they haven't been out long. They've seen God do the Red Sea thing. Now God has taken care of water for them. God has taken them to Elim, where they had fresh water, palm trees, a nice oasis. Verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full." I don't know when that was. As slaves? In bondage to Pharaoh? When did that happen? I'm not sure. But "For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Moses didn't bring the people of Israel into the wilderness. God did. Moses was a mouthpiece, as we are mouthpieces, but God does the ministry. God does the work. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." Here's that word again, "that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Do you know what the word "prove" means? Test. To examine. Test or examine. So God tests his people. God examines his people to see if they are reliable, if they are faithful, if they are trustworthy, if they can handle the pressure, if they are faith walkers. "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So God is talking to them about what? Manna. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it talks about this little thing that fell on the ground that they were supposed to gather. And they didn't know what to call it, so they called it manna. Right? They called it manna. Verse 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Here we are again. So it's one crisis after another. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? We have the water out of the rock in verses 4 through 7. God asks Moses to smite the rock one time, and water comes out. Chapter 18. Moses is in the wilderness, and he's met in the wilderness by his father-in-law Jethro and his family. Chapter 18 is also an amazing chapter regarding leadership and delegation. Moses was tired. Moses' father-in-law watched how Moses led 2 million people. And Jethro finally said, You know, you're going to wear out. You need to delegate these responsibilities. So Moses did that. And things certainly went a whole lot better. Chapter 19 is their arrival at Mount Sinai. Chapter 20 is the giving of the Ten Commandments. Chapter 21 through 24 are the laws and the ceremonies. Chapter 25 through 31 are the blueprints for the tabernacle. Say, Pastor, why do I need to know this? This is the history of the nation of Israel. As Moses was giving them the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 32, you remember the golden calf? You remember that, right? In Exodus 35 to Exodus 40, you have the tabernacle being dedicated. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, which is found in the book of Exodus, in the laws and the ceremonies. Then we'll go to the book of Numbers. Numbers is about numbers until you get to chapter 11. Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The mixed multitude means that there were Jews as well as Egyptians that came out of Egypt to join the Exodus. There were Gentiles that joined the nation of Israel as they left. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks. It sounds like Thanksgiving. And the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this matter for our eyes. Yeah. And Moses pleads to God. And we have 70 elders that are going to help them. Verse number 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. I love this. Until it come out of your nostrils. I just have this picture. I mean, the first time I read that, I thought, You get it, right? Reminded me of my nursing days, coming right out of your nostrils. And it be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. That's 36 inches. 36 inches of quail. Try walking around in that. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day and they gathered. What do you mean they gathered the quail? They gathered the quails. He that gathereth least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hetaavah. Because there they buried the people that what? Lusted. Psalm 106. Let me just give you a brief. We go from Numbers 11. To Miriam's plague of leprosy in Numbers 12. She's envious of her brother. God smites her with leprosy. Numbers chapter 13, if you recall, are the 12 spies of Israel sent to Canaan to spy out the land and bring back a report. Numbers 14, they bring back their report. And the people murmur at the news. If you remember, Kadesh Barnea was the place where they were, and that's where they stayed for a long, long time. 106, verse 12. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Just for just a little bit of summary of that history, let's take up verse 16 and we'll talk about verse 15. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Of course, this was the spying moment. Search out the land. They despised the land. They murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them and overthrew them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. 106, verse 15. But he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Leanness means not much fat. A lean piece of meat is generally fat-free, relatively speaking. It's lean. When we're not talking about food, lean means lacking in richness, lacking in fullness, lacking in quantity. It's lean times, meaning we might be poor. It also means people that are actively being lean could be frugal, they could be economical, they could be sparing. The King James Bible Dictionary says, leanness means a lack of grace and a lack of spiritual comfort. So for the next few minutes, let's talk about God gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Who in the Bible does that remind you of? How so? Okay. So he made a choice to consecrate his eating habits. And the result was? Okay. So because of that choice, not only God showed favor on Daniel, but the man who was overseeing all the Jewish recruits, the hand-selected academics, had good favor with that. So that would be an anti-example. Dan? How so? And we know that? How? Book of Ecclesiastes, as well as the history of his life. Right? His sons rose up and tried to steal the kingdom. Good example. Solomon. Somebody else. Charlene. David. God gave him his request, but sent leanness into his soul. What part of David's life are you referring to? He got what he wanted. And Nathan said, the sword will never depart out of your house. God sent leanness unto his soul. Anybody else? Another Bible character. God gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Jacob. Good old Jacob. The supplanter. The deceiver. Tell us what part of Jacob's life. Never saw his mother again. He swindled the birthright because he probably didn't have to, because according to the scriptures, he was God's chosen one anyway. Jacob's is a good example. Somebody else. Dan? Lot. That's a great example. And what part of Lot's life? It did. God gave him his request. Sent leanness into his soul. Anybody else in the Bible that you can think of? Dave? Samson. How so? Yes. Yes. Treated like a mule, essentially. Good examples. I like this. It's good. Some examples you probably haven't thought of. Todd? Jonah. I was thinking about Jonah. At what point? Sent leanness unto his soul. God, kill me! Over a gourd? Silly, wasn't it? Silly. Now, we probably wouldn't have picked Jonah for that assignment. Right? We probably wouldn't have picked Moses for this assignment. 40 years on the backside of the desert. He was a nobody by then. He had no dealings with the nation of Israel. Who would have picked Moses? But God knew. How about a New Testament example? God gave him his request, but sent leanness into his soul.
Paul wanted to go to Rome. The Spirit said no. Okay, you can go to Rome, but our different conditions.
That's a good example. I beg to differ, though, a little bit, in that unique chapter. It's hard to believe that a man who's in the center of God's will would defy the Spirit's leading. Now, out of the prophet's mouth, the prophet said something that's true. But I can prove in at least four verses, four different chapters, that God promised Paul that he would go to Rome. So, I thought you were going to say, Paul, meaning Saul, God gave Saul his desire. He was the Terminator, wasn't he? Against the church. I mean, he was the most feared individual there was in that part of the world. But God sent him leanness in his heart. He was a troubled soul. He was a mean cuss. But God knew exactly where he was. Somebody else in the New Testament. Stephen. Oh. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. Well, they knew the story and they wanted to keep the story straight. Yes. Yes. That's a great illustration. All right. Somebody else has a gem that you're just sitting on waiting to be the crown of our last example for this evening. Old Testament, New Testament. That's true. Yeah, it was lean for a while. But at the cross, it all came together. That's a good example. In a certain part of her life, for sure. God gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness into their soul.
Yes.
Exactly. That's good. That's good. God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. As I said this morning, be careful what you pray for. Which time? To his death place. Yeah. Right. That's good.
He is the whole nation of Israel. They asked for a king to God. And they suffered for it.
They sure did. They sure did. They asked for a king. And God gave them what they wanted. How about America? We're reaping what we've sown, haven't we? This is what we've asked for. Maybe this is what God's given us. Let's pray. Lord, the Bible talks about abundance and riches and a land flowing with milk and honey. The Bible talks about the abundant life. And yet there are times in our personal and corporate experience, maybe as a church, where we might go through seasons of leanness. It's at those times that we can become discouraged, perhaps even angry, jealous, maybe envious of others, as we compare our conditions with those of others. There are times of affliction. There are times of examination. There are times of testing, proving. There are times of discipline and correction. Lord, you've given us a number of examples in the Scripture where what these particular people asked for, they were not good stewards of. It's unfortunate. And Lord, perhaps in our own lives, we have asked for wisdom or direction or guidance or strength or safety or protection or a multitude of things that we might be praying for ourselves, our family, our loved ones. And yet, Lord, isn't it sad, but isn't it true that we squander perhaps the management of those very gifts that you give us? We fail. We become slothful. We don't pay attention. Our flesh gets in the way. Our self gets in the way. Our ease and comfort gets in the way. And the world, the flesh, and the devil. Just make havoc over the things that you probably wanted to bless us with. Lord, you know our private prayers, our secrets of our heart, the things that we personally are praying for. And there are circumstances in our life that only you know about. And when we can see your hand of grace, either working or answering in the midst of those private circumstances, we know for sure that you're God, that you care, that you are clearly making yourself visible to us in our personal dilemmas. Like the nation of Israel, then they sang his praises and then they believed God. But they didn't trust in his counsel anymore. They forgot his works. They wandered from their position of closeness and fellowship and became a prodigal child. And God sent leanness into their heart, into their soul, into their spirit, into their life. Lord, I am led to ask, is there anybody here this evening that is at that place where God has sent leanness into your soul? If so, what was the cause of it? Maybe more importantly, how do we get out of it? Well, the Bible says we need to confess our sin. We need to forsake our sin. Our sin of indifference, perhaps. Our sin maybe of presumption. Maybe our sin of pride, arrogance, apathy, and most importantly, our sin of selfishness. Lord, perhaps you're here this evening and you're praying for someone who's at that place. Lord, I pray you'd give us encouragement and patience and long-suffering. Help us, Lord, to rely and depend upon you as you work in the hearts and lives of our loved ones. Those that we're praying for their salvation. Those that we're praying for their recovery. Lord, thank you for this reminder how the entire nation of Israel failed. There was a few, Joshua and Caleb. But for the most part, this was a national catastrophe. Lord, I sense that we are in a similar spot as a nation today. There are few. There's a remnant for sure. But Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our church. We pray for our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, and our co-workers that need your touch of forgiveness and restoration. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this evening. Anybody have an announcement?